Life can be stressful. Getting huge savings on new tires shouldn't be. The Summer Savings Event is going on now at your locally owned Point S Tire and Auto Service. Find exclusive savings up to $150 on your next set of tires. Your savings start at PointSTire.com. Search, save, and schedule your appointment online. No matter where your adventures take you next, Point S is here to help you get there with amazing summer savings like up to $150 off and stress-free service. No stress with Point S.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Grant Kendall. Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. You've done the work that it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of your retirement. Stop by my office at 1750 Liberty Street in Salem, Oregon for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
9 to noon, Monday through Friday, it's Rush Limbaugh and his three-hour assault on illogical thinking, here on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and it is Monday, and it's a fabulous time and place to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley again. Ugh, it's Monday. Dave never likes Monday. I love Monday. We got a great guest in the studio today, so I can't wait to get into talking with him. And before we do so, tonight at City Council, they're going to vote on whether or not to lease the building for the library. We talked about it last week. Brent ranted a little bit about discrimination.
A little?
Yeah, it's very, very important that we condemn discrimination and bias in every corner, and that includes discrimination and bias against people of faith. So if you think the city council should make a decision based on not make a decision based on what PFLAG thinks and wants to discriminate because of a building is owned by a church, then let them know.
City Council
at cityofsalem.net. Call your city councilor or show up. Silly thing. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll find out Thursday when we talk to the mayor. All right, but let's get to our guests because there's a lot to talk about. My guest is Jeff Moore, all around great guy, honestly. We're going to put the pressure on him to be nice. he's an estate planning attorney with Soffel Griggs, attorney firm here in town, longstanding attorney firm in town. Personal friend, and he's an estate planner, extraordinaire. And there's things that you should know, folks. This is kind of a Brent thing. And I said, I absolutely want the Newsmaker audience to understand what Jeff does and when you need him and what to do. So many things. Well, these things happen to every single family when people pass away, right?
Right.
So we're not going to talk about the difficulty and the emotion of all that. But I'm pretty sure there's only a guy or two that made it to heaven without passing away. So we're all going to go. So the thing is, are we going to be able to make the decisions about our families, about our wealth, about our holdings, about our taxes before we go?
That's a plethora of things.
Yeah, it's really, really important. Hey, thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Thank you.
Nice to have you in the studio. All right, let's just start right off the top. I'm going to fire you questions. These are the things I think everybody should absolutely know. So does everybody need to do some estate planning? I mean, really? I mean, everybody who's listening right now, do they need to do some form of estate planning? Because I know there's different levels.
And I think the short answer to that is absolutely. Now, that may sound a little bit biased, perhaps, but I think once people understand what really happens, it'd be a good idea for them to have it. Now, the question is, where in the spectrum of estate planning are they going to land? Mm-hmm. Do they need a complex trust? Do they just need a will? Do they need something else? You mentioned a will, and you mentioned when somebody passes away. But I think what a lot of times happens is even those who are young, college students, they turn 18, they're off on their own. But the reality is if something happens to them, they got a terrible bike accident on campus, they're mm-hmm. in the hospital, who can act for them, mm-hmm. whether it be as to health care or whether it be as to their financial matters, maybe a simple bank account. But in short, anybody who's over the age of 18 can use some form of estate planning.
Wow.
18.
So I expected most. I didn't expect all. And basically, as soon as you're an adult, right? Because you're an adult and you're a college student.
Well, he made a good point, college student.
Right. Yeah. They're adults, so even we as parents can't make their medical decisions for them, right?
That's right. Once they, once they're emancipated at age 18, it's they're on their own.
So they could be in the hospital, unable to answer for them for themselves. And if you don't have, well, let's get to what documents we're talking about. Because there is a basic will. I would like this to happen when I die, and I want these people to get these assets, right? But in addition to will, the planning you're talking about is an ability for someone else to make your decisions for your medical care, right? And to get information about, because there's also the HIPAA release.
Right. I think that's an excellent point. So if you sort of imagine a quadrant, and you got a left column, you've got a right column. The left column is during life, so maybe a period of incapacity. The right column is after death. The top row deals with the money or the financial things, and the bottom row deals with health. So when you think of estate planning, most everyone tends to think immediately of a will. But a will does not control anything until you actually pass away. So it doesn't control health care, and it doesn't control things during a period of incapacity from a financial standpoint. So what falls into the category?
All right, hold on right there. Incapacity. So we're all going to have, at some point, we're not going to be able to make our own decisions. So it could be because we're ill. Could be we're in a coma. Maybe we have cognitive issues, right? And we're all dealing with that in my immediate family right now. So you're unable to manage your affairs, but you better have made those decisions and told people what you want before then. Because you could live for years and have somebody else making your decisions for you.
Right, and I read an article not too long ago that talked about what's the average. I mean, a period of incapacity, of course, could last from 10 minutes to decades.
Right.
Now, the average, is, at least according to this article I'd read, was about 22 months. You know, that the average person has about 22 months of incapacity prior to death. And so what about during that time? Does a will control, for example? And the answer is no.
No.
So that's, as you mentioned, a power of attorney. So if you have a power of attorney where you have designated an agent to act on your in your behalf, that can control things of a financial or a business matter prior to death. Now, when it comes to healthcare decisions, you know, a lot of people have heard about an advance directive. An advance directive, it really, simply put, it has two parts to it. The first part is that you're appointing an agent to be your healthcare representative and to assist with decisions when you can't speak for yourself. And the second part is often commonly referred to as a living will. Okay, well, if I'm in really tough shape, do I or do I not want to be kept alive with artificial means?
Those are huge decisions that are so personal, and they intersect with our emotions, they intersect with our faith, and intersect with a lot of different things. And I think we all want to make decisions before someone else making it for us, right? And don't we also, we get to decide who makes the decision. So you don't just leave it to a doctor, you don't leave it to a team of doctors, you don't leave it to your ex-spouse, right?
That,
and you have your wife or your estranged spouse, right? And they're suddenly like, well, you're married, so you make the decision. And they're like, pull the plug. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so all those points are excellent ones because unless it's in writing, it doesn't happen. And we talked about, you know, children who turn of age 18. Well, they're adults. Even in a married situation, sometimes people make the assumption that, well, my spouse will automatically be able to do these things for me. And the answer is, well, that's not the case. Even though you're married, they're not in a legal position, per se, to act on your behalf. And I've had many situations where I've had some stressed spouses calling from the hospital wondering what are we going to do, and they didn't have any planning in place, and so you got to go to court and have them help you out.
Like your insurance agent and your attorney, you call them ahead of time, folks. So actually, we're going to talk about that too, ahead of time. Hey, we're going to take a break, but we're talking right here, we're talking with Jeff Moore of Saufell Griggs Attorneys, estate planning attorney. The documents on the front of the part of the conversation is a will and an advance directive about healthcare and a HIPAA so people can access it, but then it gets into trusts and who needs one. Stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. As Brent sneezes all over the microphone. Great.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And in our studio is Jeff Moore, estate planning attorney with Soffell Griggs. You've been there how long, Jeff?
21 years.
21 years. So you know a thing or two about what you're talking about.
I've experienced a few.
All right. The first loaded questions. And he's seen a lot, folks. If he's giving you advice, I suggest you take it. So we're talking before the break about what a will is, and most everybody needs a will or some sort of estate planning documents. That now, if you're going to get a package, a basic package, it's not just the will, it's not just that quadrant, and after I die, this happens. It's a will, a power of attorney, because people can't even access your money to pay your medical bills.
True.
Right? Or to pay the bills that are coming in and signing your checks, and they have to have the ability to do that while you're incapacitated. A medical power of attorney, something different. We call them an advance directive in Oregon, right? And, of course, a HIPAA release, because if you walk in, and it could even be your kids, but they may not, if they're adults, they may not tell you what's going on, and you may not be able to handle it unless someone has told you or you have in writing that you can. So everyone needs a will. And you said even if they don't get their own, they already have
a will. Yeah, we were talking during the break. I mean, the reality is everybody has a will. They may just not know that they have a will because the state of Oregon has a default statute that says, well, here's how things are going to go if you pass away without a will. So in essence, if you don't write your own, the state of Oregon is going to write one for you, and it may not be what you want. So for example, I had a client many years ago who had been in a relationship 50, 60 years earlier, had a child from that relationship, had been married for close to 55 years to his spouse. They had children, and he didn't have a will. And what he didn't realize is that under Oregon law, one half of his estate would go to that first child and only one half to his spouse. So
wow,
there are some statutes out there that will really surprise you. The other thing too that I find that can be surprising is most people, even if they've done a will, but they have remarried in subsequent years, what a lot of people don't realize is that when you remarry, that is a revocation of your will.
What does that mean?
Means that the will is no longer valid.
No.
And not just the will, there's also some qualified ERISA or retirement accounts where the beneficiary that you've designated on those accounts are also revoked by remarriage. So there's a lot of things out there at play that many people just don't realize. You just don't know what you don't know.
Oh, it's scary. So can someone go online, get a will online and sign it and have it be valid in Oregon?
Certainly. I mean, there's lots of different options. Is that an option that I would recommend per se? And again, Google doesn't have the answer for everything. I mean, there's just some things, again, that you don't know what you don't know. And so whether it's my office or whether somebody out there in the community that can help, I definitely think that getting together with an advisor or a professional who can really listen to your situation, analyze the various statutes that are going to be applicable to you, and then come up with a plan that's going to last you and your family for a while is a good idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I run into all the time when people are dealing with, I deal with life and disability insurance. So they don't know what they don't know about the company, about the fine print, about the provisions and the laws and as they change, and you need an advisor to do it. So I'm preaching now, not soapbox, but preaching. You definitely go see Jeff or one of his colleagues. Because what's less expensive, really, paying you? Because a lot of people don't want to see the attorney because they don't want to write the check. Right?
So
that's a lot cheaper than paying
the
taxes,
understand
though,
right? Well, and that's an excellent point. There are various taxes in certain situations as well as different. The thing is, when you pass away, again, even without a will, let's say it's an Oregon default will, you're looking at probate, which can have some significant costs as well as some significant delays in the administration.
Can you explain what probate is?
Sure. I mean, simply put, I think the way to describe it is a court-administered handling of your estate.
Okay.
There's various timetables. There's various actions that you must take. There's statutory requirements as to when and how and so forth. And really the public policy behind it is that the state wants to make sure that if you've got some creditors out there or you've got some unknown bills, that everybody needs to be taken care of. And so that's why all the procedures.
Okay, that takes a while though, right? Probate, and if someone goes, families go through probate, do they have to have an attorney?
You know, it's a little more difficult to navigate through that without an attorney, but certainly there are those that attempt it.
People
sure.
have done it. People have done it, Dave.
I like how he puts it.
It doesn't mean it's a good idea. He's so diplomatic. Yeah. He's like, you'd have to be dumb so-and-so. That's what it, that's between the lines. No, it's not preferable. Let's just say it's not preferable. Okay, so but it takes a long time, and it costs a fair bit of money anyway. So you might as well, hey, folks, you might as well spend the money up front and get everything done right.
I think that's fair to say. It's a fraction of typically what a probate would cost.
How much is just ballpark figure probate?
Well, probate, I've seen probates go anywhere from, say, $6,000 to $7,000 to sometimes $40,000 to $50,000. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. that's a big spectrum, and it really depends on the complicated situations. Is there some infighting in the family? Are there some ruffled relationships? Are there siblings who are arm wrestling each other to see who's really going to be the personal representative or the executor mm-hmm. under the will when it wasn't maybe designated by mom and dad? So it really does depend on the circumstances. But bottom line is there's lots of other ways to avoid probate with a lot less expense and a lot less time.
Yeah, so there's some assets that pass, the phrasing is by rule of law. Mm-hmm. And then if they pass by rule of law, then they automatically go to the person that you've designated. And
right.
then they doesn't have to go through probate, and there's no wait, there's no delay, there's no cost.
Right. And a couple of great examples of that is I would refer to it as joint ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Now, joint ownership is most typical in a spousal situation. So you own the cars together, you own the bank accounts together, the home is joint, et cetera. Are you going to have a probate if one of the spouse passes away on that asset? And the answer is no, because it goes directly to the spouse by operation of law. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Now, another example, life insurance, retirement account, where you've actually named a beneficiary on that contract. Now, if you haven't named a beneficiary and you've just left it blank, you said, oh, I'm not going to fill out all those HR department forms. Well, then it may be subject to the probate because the estate may be the default beneficiary.
Mm.
Let's talk a little bit about what's unique in Oregon. Here in Oregon, estate planning is different than other states because different laws. And, of course, we have an estate tax that our mm-hmm. neighbors do not have. So, and it's fairly low.
The estate tax in Oregon is pretty unique because, as I understand it, and I need to go back and recount, but there are only three states west of the Mississippi that have an estate tax, and that's Oregon, Washington, and Hawaii. Hmm. And Hawaii's exemption matches the federal exemption, which is currently $11.4 million. Pretty good chunk of change.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Washington's is indexed for inflation off of $2 million, and I think it's roughly about 2.2 right now. But Oregon, there's no indexing for inflation, and it's a $1 million exemption. So
ouch.
If you add up everything that you've got, bank accounts, real estate, life insurance proceeds, retirement accounts, and you're over that $1 million mark, then the estate tax in Oregon is going to be a marginal rate of 10 to 16%.
Ouch.
All right, folks, let me paint a picture of this for you. You've got a 401k. You've spent 30 years paying off your mortgage. Right here in Oregon, the Mid-Valley, you might be at $1 million already.
Yeah.
You have a life insurance policy. That counts. And you've got some money in the bank. You get to $1 million, everything over that, Kate Brown gets at least 10%. Well, I can let that sink in. Did you really work your whole career? Do you want to work your whole career for Kate Brown and Tina Kotek to spend at least 10% of everything you're worth when you pass away? And if you don't, you need somebody like Jeff Moore from South
Right.
FX, right? Right? Did I misstate that?
Well,
it was a little political, but did I misstate that?
No, I mean, the estate tax applies to everything. Now, there are some ways to reduce it. So like we talked about, there's some planning opportunities, especially for a marital situation where you can turn a $1 million exemption into $2 million exemption. Mm-hmm. So there are some ways to do that. In addition, there is not a gift tax in Oregon. And so there have been some situations where people have decided to make some gifts before they pass away because they realize I'm not going to need this and so forth. And that would not be subject to estate tax for Oregon. The only thing that you have to consider, though, and again, this is the complexities of estate planning and why it's good to talk with an advisor, is that when you do make a gift to somebody, if it's an asset, whether it be real estate or stock, bond, whatever, mm-hmm. the basis of that asset, so the purchase price, let's just simplify it as that, carries over to the donee. And so if I bought a stock for 10 bucks a share and now it's worth 100 bucks a share, well, if I die with that stock, I get a basis adjustment to the day-to-death value. No capital gains when my kids sell it the day after I die. Mm-hmm. But if I gift it, well, now my kids have got that $90 capital gain per share. So the question then becomes, well, which one's going to be worse? Is it going to be the capital gains hit or is it going to be the estate tax hit? And there's got to be that analysis.
Right. Wow. It does get complicated. People don't know what they don't know, and you have to follow a chain of events and so forth.
Death is complicated.
So,
simply put,
Oregon, absolutely. I personally think the estate tax itself is immoral. That's a personal view. I think that everything that we've managed to hold on to in our life mm-hmm. is post tax.
Right.
Is post tax, and it's double dipping.
Where does that money go?
It goes to the states and then their general fund. Like your income tax. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's all post-tax money you manage to accumulate after paying your taxes, and then you're a corpse and they want to take some of your money. Wow. I just think that's immoral. So, all right, we're going to have one more segment, so many things to cover. We're going to talk about what a trust is and some of the things that a trust can protect, because there's so many possibilities inside a family with special needs, minor children, second wives and husbands, as you mentioned, and mixed families with different kids from different spouses, all sorts of those things. Spendthrift clause to make sure the inheritance doesn't get spent in the first 12 months, right? Oof. Lots to protect. Again, we're here with Jeff Moore. We're going to be right back on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. I'm Brent DeHart, and here with Dave Bourne, and in our studio, Jeff Moore from Softail Griggs is an estate planning attorney with everything that you should know, and we're going to get to about 1% of it. I was doing some calculation. If you have a $5 million estate, let's say you own a farm.
Okay.
And that farm, most of all, your net worth is in the dirt, right?
Right.
Maybe in the revenue of the business or what have you. If you have a $5 million estate, and you pass away, you're talking about over $400,000 is going to go to the government. $400,000. It's not going to your church.
I will interject. Believe it or not, here comes the other 99% of complexities. But Oregon actually has a nice favorable law for farmers, foresters, even fishermen. I mean, it's because there's a natural resource credit that can be a credit if the family has been in the business for at least 5 of the 8 years preceding death, and then they commit to it for 5 of the 8 years following death. So you bring up farm, and I only mention that because Oregon has a policy for trying to help out the natural resource.
Wow.
But if you got a manufacturing facility, you got a retail business, and you got, $5 million value, do you have any help on that? The answer is no.
Wow. Okay, so I just learned something, and I learned that even that topic has exceptions.
Right? Yes, right.
All right, so we use trust a lot in estate planning. You use trusts a lot. Can you explain to everyone what a trust is and who needs one?
Yeah, I think trust is a very broad spectrum. So a lot of times I get people to say, I don't need a trust. That's like for Jackie Onassis and the really wealthy and everything else. Well, trust is simply, it can be a very simple trust. It can be a complex trust. But think of a trust like a contract. Kind of like, I've got an insurance policy. I can name where that, who is going to receive that insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Well, a trust is really like a container for your other assets. And you designate in the trust, where is this going to go? And if the trust says, well, it's going to go to my spouse for his or her life, then it's going to go to the kids after that, and then the grandkids after that, and you've got all those contingencies built in, it goes directly to those beneficiaries. There is no probate. There is no passing through the will. It's a contract, mm-hmm. and it sends the assets directly to them.
It's a container. You put the assets in, and you get, and the container has directions about how, and they can't go outside those directions.
Right.
So that's correct. So the trustee's got the responsibility to make sure that it happens the correct way.
And that trustee could be your spouse, or it could be an attorney, it could be a banking institution.
Could be a child. I mean, yeah. Just depending on the situation, who is the right person to be managing that, considering all the circumstances? And you mentioned early on, you know, if I've got a child who's maybe not quite ready or not so mature, it's probably not a good choice to have a child standing in that capacity.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit, especially, folks, we don't know. I like to use the phrase, there's so many euphemisms, but I like to use the one, when the Lord calls you home, mm-hmm. right? And we don't know when the Lord's going to call you home. And my best friend dropped dead at age 53, mm, right?
Sorry.
And we've seen, I have friends who lost kids when they were in the teens and lost kids that were in their 20s. We don't know. So we need to account for that and be prepared. So many situations are different with a special need kid or a relative. Maybe you want to take care of your brother or sister that has special needs, and you can account for that. They may not necessarily be first in line under Oregon's rules for probate, right? But you have to, one, if you have kids in the home, you have to decide who they're going to live with.
And that's actually by appointing a guardian, and that's done in the will.
Yeah, a guardian. And this is a separate thing, because I did this in our planning, is there's a guardian, but who handles all of our money on
the
behalf
money
of the
guardian? The money for the child. That's exactly. So that could be two different, that could be two different roles. It may be that the guardian, the person responsible for the person of the child, mm-hmm. you know, how late can they stay out? What doctors are they going to see?
Right.
That's the guardian. And that's appointed under a will. But with respect to the finances, if you're like, you know, they are the sweetest person, they'd be my great, you know, step-in parent, but they don't know how to manage money. Mm-hmm. Well, having the guardian and the trustee be two different parties is certainly appropriate.
And then there's the situation where you have kids, and they don't even have to be young kids. They're being grown-ups, and how you leave them, you can put brackets on. You can put rules on how mm-hmm. they get the money, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it can be as creative as the client desires. I mean, oftentimes I'll see, well, I'd like to keep it in a trust, that container, managed by somebody that I trust to manage those funds. And so it can be used for their education and their health and their support, and that's all fine. Maybe even help them buy their car or, you know, down payment on a house, whatever. But I don't want them getting the lion's share of that inheritance until, say, age 25 or age 30 or 35 or some cases 95. And so
nice.
just depending. Or you could even do it in fractions. You know, they get a portion at 25, they get a portion at 30, they get a portion at 35. Let them learn a few lessons from, well, some hard knocks. Sometimes.
Well, yeah. What if I have some assets, and have you seen what people have some considerable assets, and then the heirs just get a check? Here's your check.
Oh, yeah.
And then what happens?
They spend it.
Usually, right? Yes.
Not always.
That's
but.
The thing, folks. You know, think of all. And I think about this in terms of my wife and I, because of course we both have life insurance and we have businesses and so forth. But and then I've got, you know, adult children. But that doesn't mean that they should get everything in a lump sum, right?
Yeah.
So there's restrictions you can put on it if they are in rehab, right? Or
yeah.
if they're incarcerated,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I've had parents that have required that. Before you get a distribution, you need to take a drug test.
Interesting. Really? You can put that in the trust documents.
Yeah. Again, you can get pretty creative. But the parent was aware of some past behaviors and said, I'm not going to support that. I'm worried that the inheritance in that case might actually hurt my child. So they put some restrictions on.
So one of the things is called a spendthrift clause, and that is to prevent people from spending all the money right away and kind of spreading out how the money comes out in a, they can get this for a wedding, they can get this for a house, they can get this for a car, like you said.
Yeah, but it's
not
even,
just
it's even bigger check. Than that, because really when it's in a trust, and it says, hey, you're not going to get it except for these things or until this certain age, you know, can a child just simply say, hey, I've got a trust in the background and I'll assign it to you so I can kind of circumvent these restrictions? And the spendthrift clause says, no, you can't do that.
And so, you can't borrow against it as well, right? You can prevent that.
The trustee can borrow. I mean, so there's things that the trustee can do, but the beneficiary, yeah, there's going to be some limitations.
Wow. Well, we only have a couple more minutes with Jeff Moore here. I appreciate it. He's a busy guy, and he's not even charging by the hour for this newsmaker. So
we could go a whole week with you.
State planning attorney, the last thing I want to cover is the confidentiality versus a public document. And I've seen estate planning attorneys talk about this. When you know a lot about a celebrity's death and where they leave the money or how much they got text, it's because they didn't do a trust.
Right.
Because a trust is private.
A trust is private.
Probate's public.
It's kind of like if you were purchasing a piece of real property. I mean, you can go onto the public records and figure out what happened in the chain of title. Well, probate is technically a public proceeding.
And it's in the courts.
Right. But a trust is private. So you asked earlier, well, who is the right candidate for a trust? And sometimes they say, well, if you own a business, if you've got over $1 million because of the Oregon estate tax, if you've got property in multiple states, or if you just want to keep things a little more private.
Yeah.
As well as, lastly, you know, somebody who wants to avoid the probate and the administration cost and delay that comes with that.
I think the gifting thing is really, really critical because you could literally be given a few days to live and you could write a check to your grandkids or to your church or mm-hmm. to your favorite charity, and it comes out of your estate and then the government of Oregon. Because keep in mind, folks, the federal's not going to tax you here in Oregon unless you're over $11 million or so. But state, that $1 million is a pretty low threshold.
You know, and I should mention, you mentioned the charities. So keep in mind that really when you give to a charity, it's a dollar-for-dollar reduction in your taxable estate. So if you had a $1 million estate and you said, hey, I give, 50% to charity, it would be as if you had a $500,000 taxable estate as a practical matter. So that's an important point to make with charities. But you're right, anything in excess of that that's not going to charity. I had a situation, I know we're short on time, but this gentleman was diagnosed with two terminal cancers. Ugh. Rough situation. But he had two family members. He had about $1.8 million estate. And he wanted to see them get it while he was alive. He wasn't going to use mm-hmm. it in the next few right. months that he had to live. So he made that gift. He gifted just below the $1 million mark. And it saved about $80,000.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen these cases where going to spend a few thousand dollars with an attorney can save $50,000 in taxes. I advised one, it was a client, and it's like, your life insurance alone puts you in a taxable.
Right.
So that's my encouragement. Don't be afraid of the attorney because it's so much less expensive to hire an attorney. Spend $1,000, spend $5,000, whatever it takes, because it's a lot cheaper than taxes, folks, and it's even far more inexpensive to do it ahead of time than it is after the fact, because then you're going to end up paying the taxes and you're going to do an attorney due to the probate anyway, and you'll be in the newspaper. So try to avoid all of those things. I want to thank Jeff Moore from Soffeld Griggs Attorneys. You have a whole team. It's not just you.
Oh, yeah.
He has colleagues and a team and a longstanding firm. So see them, or heck, you can even reach out to me, and I'll tell you the ones on town that I trust. But find somebody good that your family trusts and take care of business. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Hey, thank you, Brent and Dave. Appreciate
it. You bet.
Important
thank
stuff.
You.
This is Brent D. Hart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and we'll be right back to finish up our hour here on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart on a beautiful Monday. Hey, thanks to Jeff Moore for being here today. We're going to wrap up the hour here, but wow.
One of the things we try to do here on Newsmakers is make sure you know some of the things that help life go a little smoother, right?
This
stuff is so important. And for me, the key is, there's two big keys, and we talked about it, but it's being able to make the decisions we want to make while we can still make them. Because someday, Dayborn,
yes,
you will be unable to make decisions for yourself. You're either going to be incapacitated or you're going to be dead.
Are you going to knock me out?
I mean, maybe one and then the other. I'm not saying it's this week.
Oh, okay.
But someday we are all going to be unable to make the decisions about our money, about our affairs, and all of these things. And so we're taking that and making sure we make those decisions well-known in advance.
Absolutely.
While we can.
Yes.
So really, really critical. And it doesn't matter if you don't have very much money. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you use a high-powered attorney, none of those things, but
no.
Make these decisions while you can. You don't want to be incapacitated and have somebody else making decisions, and you don't want it to go to the government.
No.
You don't want
no.
the judge to decide.
Ew, that's just wrong.
And that's the worst thing. And I like talking to people like Jeff Moore from Soffel Griggs, and as we learned, it does take a long time to go through probate. A long time. So you can go a long time, and then you had somebody who never met you, never had a conversation with you, deciding.
That's scary.
Yeah. And then maybe they're deciding where someone who has children and who's going to take care of them.
Right.
Right. Who's going to spend the money you leave behind on behalf of your children and how they're going to spend it. Complete stranger. Mm. All right. Enough of that. But I hope you enjoy the hour. A couple things to wrap up this Monday before we go powering through the rest of our Monday. I just wanted to say, because I've been holding on to this since my drive into the studio today. Hey, there's a little silver Kia minivan out there. I just want to let you know that the left lane, some of us call it the fast lane.
Yeah.
I think ODOT calls it the passing lane.
Yes.
But it's not just tootle around while you're filing your fingernails lane. It's just one of those. I'm going to
drive. You had one of those today?
10 miles an hour under the speed limit.
Oh, I hate that.
I was like, all right, I'm not writing down the license plate or anything, but it was a silver Kia minivan. It's just part of our ongoing effort to have public service announcements, right?
So they needed a bottle of blinker fluid, right?
Blinker fluid.
Yes.
And another thing, since I'm talking about my commute, hey, this thing, if you're coming from the west side, all you people in West Salem, you people, that turn, like people are going to go to the parkway. Anybody who's on the west side, meaning everybody in Polk County, practically, mm-hmm. including all the residents of West Salem, for them to get to the Salem Parkway, they got to be in one lane on the bridge, on the Center Street Bridge, and that curb. Well, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like Wilsonville and driving to Portland. Not Wilsonville, I beg your pardon. Yeah, Wilsonville. There's always a slowdown in Wilsonville.
Always.
It can be 2 a.m. on a Sunday, and there's a slowdown, and it's inexplicable. You're like, there's no accident. There's no construction. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting to this thing in the middle of the bridge, and you're trying to get off the bridge, and you have to turn left to go around and to get north. Say you're going to go to North Salem. You're going to go to Kaiser.
Right.
You're going to go to Salem Parkway, folks. So everybody going to Portland, everybody going to PDX, everybody. One lane coming off that bridge, and it's always backed up to a complete stop. There are three other lanes, and they're all moving. They're moving at decent speed, and then a dead stop in the lane. You know where this is going, right?
Yeah.
They really don't think we need an option for people to get north. All those people going north, they could be on the new bridge.
Yeah.
They could be on the new bridge. They should be on the new bridge. They're going north. They're trying to get to Salem Parkway.
Right.
They're trying to get to I-5 going north. They're trying to get to Kaiser, whatever it is. The problem is real and now. It's right now.
Yeah.
So you didn't like the bridge proposal. You better have another proposal right now.
Well, it's because that lane goes around and down to a stop.
Yeah. So true.
And then you turn right. It should have its own dedicated lane to get on.
All right. We got a couple of, how much time we have, Dave? We got just a couple of things.
Yeah, a couple minutes.
That are happening today and tomorrow.
Yes.
I want everybody to be aware of. So one is Congressman Schrader. So I got an announcement.
Really?
And yeah, this one has to do, it's kind of informative, but it's right here in Salem at the 50 Plus Center. So they're on Portland Road. Plenty of parking. But he's speaking. He's talking about the VA Mission Act.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and this is important. We all know it's a subject in America about veterans getting the proper care that they were promised and, you know, VA health care and this and that. So if you want to know, hey, what's Congress doing about it and where did our Congressman Schrader fall on it?
Right.
Today's the day. All right, so.
What time is that?
It is. Don't want to miss this.
Oops. Yeah.
It is.
I might want to go to it.
Yeah, 50 plus center. Does that describe you? No. Yeah, I might. All right, it's 4 o'clock today. If anybody wants to see it, if you can get there, 4 to 5, it's open to the public. And it's recently passed VA Mission, recently implemented VA Mission Act. So sorry, kind of late notice, but if it does appeal to you, he actually does a pretty good job of explaining the sausage about how things are made.
Sausage.
Right? yeah, it's enjoyable sometimes to hear the congressman speak because he kind of lays it out there about, you know, well, you know, he doesn't say these words, but these people are morons and these people can't think straight. And
he doesn't say the words,
just like,
huh?
Like, I don't know what they're thinking, you know, but at the end of the day, you got to get some work done for the public. That's my Kurt Schrader impersonation.
That was a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. And at the end of the day, we're all just trying to do the same thing here.
Right.
Yeah. So, Rep, thank you for having the open house and VA Health Care is really important. Lastly, tomorrow, this is your last chance to get your recommendation to the Mayor and County Commissioners and who's going to be our next House District Representative in House District 19. So they have 3 options. I think they have good options. I think we're going to be well represented. And one of the things that's going to weigh heavily on their minds is who's going to be electable in the next cycle.
Absolutely.
Right? Who's going to run a campaign and make sure that seat stays Republican and doesn't flip to the other side? So best of luck to everybody who's raised their hands and say, hey, I want to be overstressed, overworked, and underpaid.
That's pretty much that position, yeah.
And that's about it for Newsmakers today. Hope you join us tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of great topics, some of the things that are weighing heavy in the news, but we haven't weighed in yet.
No,
it's
we haven't.
It's time for Dave and Brent to explain to you what to think about it, right?
Right.
All right. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.